Welcome to Song Creating on Radio St. Pete Sunshine 96.7 FM. Join us as we celebrate the sparks that ignite, the events that inspire, and the songwriters that create. With your host, Steve Robb.
Christina Thomas Taylor is a producer, musical artist, composer, and songwriter from the Boston area. Going by the name Octoberture, she collaborates with other artists from all around the world. She's also half of the indie acoustic duo Northwoods, playing in small venues and festivals around New England. Christina Thomas Taylor, welcome to Song Creating.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
You are in the New England area here, snowbound and stuck in the cold. Well, we could say that if you were in Nashville too right now, because they're snowbound and stuck in the cold also.
I heard it's cold everywhere, even in Florida. It's cold.
It's like everywhere. Yes, I know it. How do you describe what you do?
You mean how do I describe myself, or
you know?
What?
Yeah, I mean if you had to. So we've got you do production. You're a composer, a songwriter, which is sort of the same thing, but there is a difference. But, you know, John Williams is a composer and John Prine is a songwriter. But, you know, there is a difference between them. But you do, you're not just a guitar player and singer kind of writer. You add a lot more to your compositions. And if you were to meet somebody and they go, hey, we're all songwriters, how do you define yourself differently?
Yeah, so I used to be a singer, piano player, guitar player, and then a few years ago I learned production, and it's opened up a whole new world for me. It's magic. What it is I've always had, whenever I wrote a song, I could hear it in my head what it would sound like if it had all of the instruments in there, if it had strings and background parts, and I love to harmonize, so I always wanted to sing over myself. And I had a hard time finding people that I could sing with, that I gelled with. And so now that I'm doing production, I feel like I just create magic. I hope everybody else feels that way too, but I just put something in the computer and then I can add any instrument in the world on top of it. I feel like, you know, I have a whole orchestra at my fingertips.
And it is truly amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's a whole other world.
Completely. I've completely changed. I always felt like I was held back without technology, I think. Because now I can just create exactly what I had in my head, and there's nothing better in the world.
I don't know if you remember when we first met a couple months ago at a house party. I heard what you did, and you were heading out the door, and I said, "You and I have to talk because we have a lot in common." Because you know, I've produced three CDs, and two of them I did in house, and you know, multitasking as playing as many instruments as I could, because sometimes it's hard to get people to come over here and they don't want to commit all the time that it takes to really, really do it right. And I'm cheap and I don't want to pay professionals it just really kind of adds up. So it's amazing how much you can do that. And you now you're dealing with people that aren't necessarily local now or friends of yours. These are folks from all over the place that you find?
Yeah. I mean, I could I could tell the whole story from the beginning, but I during COVID, I had a plan to open up a business here in downtown. I was still trying to figure out what it was going to be. And then COVID hit. Of course, COVID changed everything for everybody. And not a good time to open a store. And so I discovered a program online called the Songwriting Academy and went to this boot camp that they had. And I was so inspired because they're based in London. That's why I have a lot of European friends. But they made me realize that there may be a way to actually make a living in music. which I never thought that I could do. I'm still struggling to do it, like every other musician, right? But they had a program. I was in it for 2 years, and in that I was doing everything through Zoom and meeting people from all over the world. So the students were all over the world, and we would do all of our songwriting over Zoom. And that was when I started learning production too. So that's what I was doing through COVID. That really, I was probably happier than a lot of people at that time because I was here doing all these things that I've always wanted to do. And I've been doing it ever since. And so now I've been meeting people all over the country as well, and we collaborate. So they'll record something, send it to me, and I'll record it back and send it back. And then we'll do like brainstorming songwriting sessions over Zoom together.
So are these co-writes, or are they playing what you've provided for them?
Oh, no, these are all co-writes. So I always play all of my own. I mean, actually, I don't do a whole lot of live instruments. Okay, it really depends. So these are all co-writes. Like some of them maybe might lay down a guitar track or something, mm-hmm. and they'll send it to me, and then I'll put it in the computer, and then I'll add all kinds of things, chop it up. And then I love to do vocal layers and different things like that. So it's a combination of, you know, electronic and real instruments. My real goal is to get music on TV and film and commercials. Mm-hmm. So that's my main goal. And I have two selves, actually. So I have this music that I'm doing for TV, film, that kind of thing under the name Octoberture. So that's the music that I create here in my studio. And then I have an acoustic duo called Northwoods with my friend Sherry Velas. And she and I do acoustic music together. We both sing, play the piano and the guitar, and write. And so we definitely have gelled together. And so we've been together, oh, I don't know. We found each other about 10 years ago, and we had a couple other bandmates, but they had to leave for various reasons. And so Sherry and I stuck together for, I don't know, maybe it's like 6-7 years now. And so we go out and play live.
Nice.
So those are my two different selves.
And are you playing, is Northwoods playing original music mostly?
We would love to do all original music. We usually end up just playing like farmers markets, small venues like that where they want cover songs. But so we do about half and half.
Hopefully there are a few of those covers that, you know, who wrote that? I don't recognize that. Who wrote that? Was that a Carole King? And that was one of ours. I know. It's always a joy when something like that happens and they go, no, wow.
I wrote that.
I'm curious how your whole process here, it sounds like it's a lot of back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
And is it a good back and forth, or is it sometimes a too much back and forth?
I've had both. It's usually great. I've had a couple co-writes with other producers where it's gone back and forth over the tiny little minutia, you know, like that one little section, you need to turn the volume up there, or you need to put this plug-in on there. And that can drive me crazy. But usually it's great.
Yeah. But now often, in the songwriting aspect of it, as opposed to the production part of it, do you feel like they're the songs that you're recording? Do you still feel like you've got a fair amount of ownership to it? If it was your, I'm not a good co-writer, and I don't know if I've actually ever done any co-writing. So it's a foreign thing for me, and I know it's foreign for a lot of people. Although I do have a lot of guests who really get into co-writing and absolutely love it and revel in the the benefits of it. If you find the right co-writer, if you find a good co-writer, which I guess I'm still struggling to find. So having said that, to me, it always seems like a balance of how much of your autonomy are you giving up in doing so?
Yeah, so I had never co-written until I started at the Songwriting Academy, and they're really big into that. And they're big into doing it kind of quickly as well, which is a completely different thing. I've always struggled with songwriting myself. So when I was a kid, I played piano, and I played classical piano, but I would make up just instrumental things on the piano. Mm-hmm. And I would always try to put words to it, and I just couldn't do it. Or when I did it, it was terrible. But I always felt like it was right there. I'm still trying to figure out what the hangup was. But then when I was about 20, I learned the guitar as well. And suddenly I could write on the guitar. It's interesting. I couldn't write words on the piano, but I could write them on the guitar. And I had like 3 years where I just went nuts and wrote a whole bunch of music. And I started playing out of coffee houses and open mics and all of this. And then I traveled to India for 6 months, back in my 20s. And then when I got back, I met my husband. And something happened at that time. Suddenly, I couldn't write anymore again. I always felt like the songwriting was just this thing that was just right there, but really hard to grasp onto. And I went, so then I had kids. I moved to Massachusetts. I was out in Seattle before that. And then I went for about 20 years without being able to write anything.
Surprisingly, those 20 years are around the 20 years that you had your kids.
Yes.
Shocking. Yeah, it's amazing how.
I know. I bet you hear this story a lot. I've met so many women where, especially the kids, they just don't have the time for the music anymore. Don't have the energy, the inspiration.
Yeah. I was hardly even playing guitar when my kids were little. And, I played them guitar in bed occasionally I felt like I was still playing the same old songs I played from my 20s. And then they got to be a little bit more independent, and I got to actually have a lot more fun. Now they're completely gone out of the house, and that's my story. So, but the kids are definitely, it's a matter of, it's not so much kids. It's just, you have to prioritize things, and some things are more important than others. And
I think I still had that, whatever that hang up was, like, it felt like it was just out of my grasp. So then I met a couple people who played music locally. I hadn't really played, with people that much during that time. So I met a couple friends who played music, and we started playing together, and they were writing music. And so I started, some reason I was able to write again, and approaching it differently this time. This time I was looking at it much more methodically. I think before I was just kind of waiting for the inspiration to come out of the air, and tell me what to write. This time I just started studying other songs. So I would listen to other things and other songs and hear I love how they did that. And, that chord progression, just really simple. But then here they changed this. And so I started analyzing other people, and it was completely different. And then with the Songwriting Academy, I'm going to keep talking about them, I guess.
Okay.
Of course, I was taking classes on songwriting and all of that, and trying it out with other people. And you have to, what they were saying is you have to practice it every day. And even if you sit down and write just total crap, doesn't matter. It's just the fact that you're doing it.
It's the free write, just 10 minutes of free write.
Yeah. And so once I started just approaching it methodically, it's like, okay, this is going to be the verse. And then in the chorus, I should make the notes go higher and I should make it lift. And then, you know, refrain back to the beginning again when I go to the end and all of these things. It was like a template.
Yeah. Oh,
which is going to be different for every song, but it's a framework. That's what it is. So just like a guidance instead of just like, oh, where is that song coming from? I don't know. Right. I could take that inspiration and put it into these methods that I've learned. And then the practice, right? So I started co-writing with other people. Thought it was very hard at first, of course, and it was over Zoom, which is even harder.
Yeah, that's tricky. So let me ask you, backing up, the hang up that you had, you used that word a couple of times, was that lyrically or musically? Where was the struggle more real?
Definitely.
The struggle is real.
Definitely lyrically. I'm much more of a music person. And the music actually has always come really easy to me. I love interesting chord changes. Cliches are something that kind of drive me nuts. So mm-hmm. I'm always trying to do something different. And I found myself recently wishing there were more notes in the world and more words. Because everything's been said already, you know.
How did you overcome this the lyric roadblock? Because it's very tricky, and a lot of people have a hard time with lyrics. You know, you read some of these beautiful poetic lyrics in a song, and it sounds so good. It's so, sometimes it's very cryptic, and then you may read the lyrics to a story song or something a country song or some of these things are a little bit more able to decipher without being so floral. It's more matter of fact and they put everything together. It's a struggle, and it's more than just finding a rhyme scheme. It's tough. And I've been to one songwriting workshop 4 years now. And I find that, it is almost entirely lyrically based, that what we are studying is almost completely lyrical, which I think is kind of unfortunate. I think there should be more focus on building a bridge, and different things. But I don't know. And maybe it's harder to teach that than it is to teach lyric writing, or I don't know.
I think some of that is that there are only a certain number of chords and chord progressions in the world, but there is so many ways that you can manipulate words and melodies. Mm-hmm. Melodies.
Melody is important. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you just take a regular chord progression that you hear in, I don't know, millions of songs.
Let's see. Let's just come up with one. G, E minor, C and D. Okay.
It's the rhythm of the words, and it's the melody, and it's the words. All of that combination on top of that chord progression that makes it different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. So learning tricks about rhythm of the words. So like what beat the first word comes in on. Like if in your verse, if the first word comes on the first beat, then in the chorus, you try to change that up and have the first word come in on like 2.5 and have a completely different rhythm. So then each section mm-hmm. of the song is different. And that was completely freeing. And learning about melodies, I realized that my melodies were always just like one note away from each other, like that kind of thing, instead of jumping up to a higher note, which is like if you do that in the chorus and don't do it in the verse or a pre-chorus, then it makes it fresh sounding.
So is the Songwriting Academy, it's more focused on lyrics as well,
or not?
Okay, because I find it sounds like what you're referring to here with changing the melody in the chorus is is that you're keeping the same chords through the chorus as you are in the verse, but having to make that, having to identify one over the other, not by chords so much, but by melody.
That is actually, it has been the trend in modern music.
Yeah.
Lately is to have the same chords through the whole song, which was really, really hard for me.
Yeah.
I realized that I was really leaning on the chord changes to come up with melodies. And so that was an exercise that I did, was I kept the same chords through the whole song and just changed the rhythm and the melody in each section.
Are you happy with that? Or was this an assignment to keep the chords the same and to diversify it with the melody? Or because I don't know if that's necessarily a good, you know, constructive process to just find four chords and just keep. I mean, it works great when you have a looper, and maybe if you're Coldplay, you know, it works really well. But
it wasn't really an assignment. Like, I didn't have assignments, but this was something I wanted to learn for myself. Yeah. To make
okay.
My
so you made your own assignment.
Oh yeah,
you challenge yourself. Okay, well that's absolutely respectable, because
yeah,
it is a challenge to be able to make an interesting song out of something that's repetitive.
It was all really hard work.
Mm.
It was so good for me. I think doing this kind of work and doing things that you don't usually do is really hard, but I think that's one way that you get out of the ruts.
Yeah.
Because all of us songwriters get stuck in the same place, right? Like every song starts to sound the same and you can't come up with anything different. So if you have these exercises, you force yourself into doing something different, then suddenly it's like, wow, that's really awesome.
Right, right.
I've never done that before.
So with all the production skills that you have now, do you still sometimes record a song and keep it as Spartan as possible for that variety, that diversity in your album or whatever you might happen to be working on?
Definitely.
You find sometimes things are actually stronger being simple.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Mm. Completely. I remember somebody said once that a good song is all about the moments. So if you have a moment in your song, and your moment could be super quiet, or your moment could be gigantic, as long as it is a moment.
Huh.
That was a key thing for me. And I went through what I think a lot of producers went through, is where you just keep throwing on more and more instruments, right? You make it bigger and bigger because you can. How fun that is. But learning to take things out is key. Especially one of my favorite things now, I'm doing more like rockin' tunes, and I actually have a couple songs with a rapper friend of mine. It's completely different from anything I've ever done before. But learning how to give a song real punch is like taking out something right before it. You know, you have all this music going along and then it's quiet and then boom.
Well, the dynamics of it.
Right.
I find that there's a formula, especially in country music, I tend to make fun of country music a little bit too often, because but it's the verse, verse, chorus, whatever it is, maybe a bridge, and then there's a soaring guitar solo, and then all of a sudden down. And then the next verse is quiet. And it's like you can almost anticipate what's going to happen. And it's such a formula. And, someone's got to break the mold here somewhere. You know, have that guitar solo as the first verse. Like, what's that Steely Dan song? It was a Kid Charlemagne, I think. It actually starts with a guitar solo. It's like, wow, how does that happen?
I've been... I've been working to try to make my music more modern, some of it. So I'm going to keeping some of it the way it is, like mostly in my duo. And then the stuff I'm trying to do for TV and all of that, I'm trying to make it more modern sounding. And that was a big challenge for me too, because I probably stopped listening to current music, you know, for about 20 years or so. But I've heard that you create the music that you listen to. And so I've started just listening to all of the more current music in all different genres and just listening really carefully to what they're doing.
Fresh ears.
Yeah.
So you probably have a different perspective on it.
Yeah. And the more you listen to it, the more you like it.
I think that's the same strategy as the ones who continually get that song on the airplay. The more you hear it, the more you're gonna like it. So let's keep playing that song and make it into a top 40 tune.
You're listening to Song Creating on Radio St. Pete, Sunshine 96.7 FM.
There's probably a lot of listeners who are thinking, how's she getting that on TV? How is she doing this? And I'm not sure how successful you're being, but it is, you know, obviously everybody would love to get their music bought and sold and, you know, somehow. Is there a strategy to this? Are you writing specifically to something or?
There are a lot of different ways you can go. I find myself often just being overwhelmed by all the things I need to do and all the directions I could go in. It's only been like 3.5 years I've been on this journey, and I'm still learning who I am, what my music is, and what I'm capable of. And the more I do it, the more I find I can do other things too. So I guess I'm pretty diverse in my music. There are a lot of different ways that people get music on TV. It's just, some people are just lucky. Like somebody finds them on Spotify and says, "Hey, can I put your song on a TV show?"
Right.
I don't think that happens very often, but I guess the more popular you are. Although I've found that so music supervisors are the people who decide what songs go into a show. And they're always looking for new music. And often they and the producers of the show have like a big famous song that they want to put in there, but they can't afford that song because the famous people are really expensive.
Yeah.
And so often they're looking for somebody, an indie musician. They look for a lot of indie musicians now who are cheaper.
Yep.
And they have many different ways of doing that. I'm going through lots of different processes. Some people reach out to the music supervisors themselves, but that's really, really hard to do. Apparently they're inundated with people.
Oh, I can imagine. They've got them. To be. Yeah.
And then there are sync agencies. And so sync is synchronization. That means putting music to any kind of video. Mm-hmm. And getting a sync license is what a sync placement, I guess, is what it's called if your song is put into a show. Or it could be a video game or a commercial, anything with video. So they have agencies where you send them your music, and if they like it, they'll have it in their little library, and then they'll pitch it out to TV shows. When they hear that somebody needs a rock song from the 70s that has these words, they'll say, "Oh, I've got the perfect song," and they'll send it to them. But so it's not easy, and this is what I've been struggling with, but yeah, the better I get at everything and the more contacts I make, it's a big thing. Because it's really the entertainment business. I mean, like the TV business or the movie business, not the music business.
Do you feel like you need to be closer to New York or Nashville or LA in order to be able to do this? Or is
Hollywood,
it is everything
else? LA seems to be where everything is. Although there are some things in New York, but so many people are doing it through Zoom these days.
Yeah.
So they're taking music from all over the place. Although there are big conferences you can go to and meet people in person, which I've been meaning to do. Most of them are in LA.
Yeah.
So I do have friends who live in LA and they just run into these people that they've been wanting to meet. And that would be nice, but that's not going to happen here.
Yeah, can't do that on Zoom. All right, Christina, I want to introduce the song that we're going to talk about today. And this is a song by North Woods. Is it, or is this not a Oktoberture song?
I wrote it myself.
Okay. Yeah,
but it's officially put out by North Woods.
Okay, all right. Semantics. We don't need to worry too much about that. This is a Christine Thomas Taylor's composition. Give people a little bit of a quick perspective on what they are going to hear and what's inspired this song.
This was after the 2016 election, between the time when Donald Trump was elected and I went to the Women's March in Washington, D.C. with both of my kids and other family members, too.
Okay. This is Onward Tomorrow by Christina Thomas Taylor.
Take my hand.
Welcome back to Song Creating. We're here with Christina Thomas Taylor. Okay, Christina. You know, when you presented the song, you said, is it too political? And I, you know, I interview a lot of songwriters and a lot of folk songwriters, and I don't think there is such a thing as too political when you come to folk music. It is, it just seems to be the driving force in one way or another, not necessarily politics as we know it now, which is just so on steroids, but there's always been a political leaning that's in songwriting, you know, go back to Woody Guthrie and everybody else. So yeah. let's go back to this time. I hope we go back to it, not forward to it again. as we all cringe. This was January, I think, of 2017, right?
Yeah. So this is maybe the only political song I've ever written, because I write songs that are personal. I don't like to write about politics, but I write about personal things. And this one was, this was personal. So okay. The election happened in 2016, and I was shocked, as I think a lot of us were. It was right after the election. I was sitting in my living room. So this is in 2016, in November. I was sitting in my living room, and it was a dark, cold day. And I lit a candle that I had, in the words, this little candle that I bought in Iceland on a trip. It's shaped like a blackbird. And I was just so depressed. And things had been happening around town. So suddenly it seemed like all of the bigots in the world felt empowered. And there were a couple instances in my town, and I thought we were immune to that kind of thing. You know, here in Massachusetts, everybody's so embracing of other types of people. And I just couldn't believe that this was happening, actually. And so I started writing this. And then people in my town, as I know they're good people, they formed a protest here in town against bigotry and misogyny and all of these things that were coming out after the election. And so I went downtown with my kids, and we had this big peace flag, and we were waving. And I was just so enheartened. Just hadn't seen that kind of activism in decades. And I was just, you know, that just made me feel hopeful. And then at that time, my sister told me that she and some of her friends were going to go down to the protest, the Women's March in Washington. And I said, I'm there. I'm going with you, and I'm bringing my teenage kids with me because I want them to see this. It's going to this is going to be history. And I want them to know that there are things that they can do about the world. Things have changed even since then, but at the time I wanted them to feel empowered, knowing that you don't just take the world as it is. If there's something that is going on that is not right, you need to stand up for it. And I wanted them to see that. So it was January was the Women's March, right? It was the day after the inauguration. Right. And I've heard it was the largest one-day protest ever, and I completely believe that because it was so overcrowded. I mean, not overcrowded, of course, but it was amazing to be there and to be part of history. And it was really nice to just let it all out too. Everybody was there just yelling and screaming and singing and, you know, carrying the signs. And even though it was a difficult trip, when we took bus overnight down there, didn't sleep at all, and then had to walk forever to get to the protest, and then couldn't find a bathroom, couldn't get food. But it was totally worth it, because just to see all of these people from all over the place all coming together to just show that we're going to fight for what we believe in was just amazing. So I wrote the songs. I started writing the song after the election, but I knew that the protest was coming. And then when I went down to DC, I was just finishing up the song and I had it going through my mind the whole time I was there. And I'm like, yes, this is the song for this event. So that's what it's about.
Did you record it on your way down, like on your phone or whatever you were coming up with?
Yeah, I had some voice memos. That's about it. Yeah.
It's kind of hard to retain something that you come up with. You got to record it. It's awfully hard to remember exactly what you had in your head. I find sometimes when I sing something into a melody into my phone, it's not including the chords. Right. And then I have to think, oh, I'm not sure. I listen to it again later and go, I'm not so sure. But I'm getting off topic here. Sorry. We tend to do that now and then. You started this song the day after the election, or at least the lyrics tend to follow that day after the cold rain, lighting the candle. And then did you let it go for a little bit until the march?
It took me a little while to finish the song. So it started out. It starts out like bewildered, really, at the beginning. The world is collapsing away. I say, like, I don't even know what to say. Like, I just wrote down on my notebook, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
But then as things were evolving over the next couple of months, I started getting more determined and more hopeful. And the song does that too. So when I say take a good look at it now, what I mean is like the protest and what people are doing, the way that people are coming together. Take a good look at the way it is, what people are doing right now, and take that with us into the future because we're going to need it. Right.
Yeah.
I was actually still hopeful at the time that it wouldn't be so, maybe it wouldn't be so bad.
I think we all were, which kind of leads me to the question here. Do you think all that protesting worked? Did it really have any effect? It's hard to answer that. It's hard to really know a definitive yes or no on that. But boy, it seemed like
didn't seem like it was. Like it really did much, but I brought my kids there. I hope that did something, you know? So everybody who was there, everybody who saw it, and all of my friends back home, they were all going into Boston. They're all over the world. They were protesting. So, you know, that had to do something, even if it didn't, maybe it didn't help politically or with our country, which is crazy right now. It did something. As I'm always an optimist.
Good for you. Well, that's a good way to be. How old were your kids at the time?
They were teenagers. So, gee, I think 17 or 16 and 14, I think. And my niece was there, who was the same age too. And we've got lots of good videos of them wrapped in like peace flags and carrying signs.
This song really does build up. I think, is it just a single piano? I mean, there's a little bit more going on than just a piano, but how did so you had your lyrics, you had your thoughts, you had your structure of this.
Yeah.
How did you choose to develop it the way you did?
So I wrote it on the piano, and I showed it to my bandmate, Sherry. And she loved it. And in 2018, we were able to go into a recording studio, and we started recording an entire album. And this one, we went into the studio and I played the piano and Sherry plays the guitar, and we hired a drummer for that. And then, of course, with COVID, we couldn't go into the studio anymore. We had almost the entire album recorded. And then we were stuck at home again. So that was when I started learning production. And it was a year or two later, I decided to just finish producing the whole album at home myself. And I'm still going through that album. I have this huge backlog of songs to do, but Sherry was bugging me to finish this one. So we actually just released it a few months ago. But it started out with the piano, and then Sherry and I both love a big buildup, especially with when it gets to the end of the bridge. It goes back to the original chord, and there's this big uplifting moment. And I wanted it to be inspiring. And so, yeah, I added in some virtual strings, but we had the drummer and the, mm-hmm.
There's kind of a symphonic feel to the way he's drumming here too. You know, you picture the kettle drum, boom, 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 you know, John Williams-esque.
What we wanted. We wanted something big and inspiring. And the words are, you know, take what we have and bring it forward. And then at the end, it says, we'll make it happen. It's like, and we decided to sing that line together because that was mm-hmm. what we really wanted to say. We are going to make that happen. We're going to save ourselves. I was being very optimistic at the time.
Yeah.
And then the last words are, we'll make it. Because I know even if things are bad, you know, we are going to be okay. We'll be all right.
And you still feel that way?
We're still alive. Yeah, I had idea how bad it was going to get. But we are still here, right? I'm still an optimist.
We are still here. Yes, that's true. You know, and music is such a powerful vehicle to bring people together, more so than tearing people apart. I'm trying to actually think. I mean, there are obviously elements in society that tear people apart. You know, whether it's just words or I find you may not agree with somebody politically, so avoid it. Let's just enjoy the music. You know, let's just enjoy the creativity. Let's, you know, the playing together part of it. And a kind of escape, maybe, you know, it can be an escape from the reality that's around us. It also can emphasize the reality that's around us or reflect on that. I think yours is a reflection of it here. I don't know. It's tricky.
Music is unlike anything else. It reaches something primal inside us, I think, because it can invoke any kind of emotion that you want. Yeah. I mean, that's really something that a music maker can do, is manipulate people's emotions.
There's a big word there. Is that what you're trying to do?
Well, no, not manipulate in a bad way, but you do have some control over that if you're good at it.
Yeah.
I remember my goal is always to make somebody cry just by
right.
by touching another person, right? Mm-hmm. For a couple times, I played with Sherry. Okay, there was one time we were just sitting around with a bunch of my friends, and we played that Fleetwood Mac song, Landslide.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just playing. And then at the end, we looked up and everybody was crying.
Wow.
We did that.
Listen, most of us are great harmonies. I'm sure they were.
But that's really a power, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you have to be, I guess you don't have to be, well, sometimes you do have to be careful what you do. I've played a couple songs that I really liked, and then I realized that maybe they were about suicide or depression, and then I couldn't listen to them anymore because it just, it hurt too much.
The song seems to have a very dramatic feel to it. I don't know if there seem to be some minor chords in here sort of mixed in with major sevens, I guess, give it that little, I'm not sure exactly what your chords are without having played it or read them. But did you think about trying something in a more uplifting feel, more major chords, Blackbird kind of, lighter, maybe more air. Maybe it's you know what it is? I think there's a weight to this song. There's a heaviness to the song. And it's not a light and breezy song. And it's a heavy topic, of course. I guess I'm just wondering, in the course of you writing it, did the music come first here and then the lyrics? Or it sounds like the lyrics kind of came first here. And then, at least in not by the song, but as we've discussed it, it seems like the lyrics.
I actually don't remember.
Okay. All right. That's okay. And I mean, a lot of times they come together. They come at the same time. But I guess I'm just wondering if you tried anything that was in a, you know, different vibe. Mm-hmm. Do you ever do that? Same chords and just, or same lyrics and just try something completely different?
Sometimes I do, not usually completely different. I go by the emotion I'm having at the time, and I try to find that emotion. And this one was definitely heavy. It was definitely heavy. It was kind of like fighting your way out of making yourself fight your way out of a depression, which is what it was. I didn't try any other chords because that was what it needed to be.
Yeah.
I do remember sitting down in the living room with my pad of paper. So obviously there were words coming. This one probably did start with the words, which is unusual for me.
Yeah.
But I was definitely feeling things that needed to come out.
I have to listen to this again with this in mind. Is this a repeating chord pattern in the chorus and the verse, like we were talking about, or do you change something up? You do change something, but like I'm not sure if it's just a melody.
It's like an AABA kind of format. So the bridge is a real breakaway. So it's got like three. I'm looking at it now because I'm trying to remember, even though I just played it a couple days ago. it has like three verses that are the same, but then the bridge is a real breakaway, and the bridge ends on an F and then comes back to a G. Maybe you have to hear
the chords.
It has this big moment where it comes back to the original chords, and the words on that moment, in that moment, are a light of hope. Mm-hmm. So I wanted that to be really uplifting there.
Yeah. I think you succeeded. I have a saying, I just throw in an F chord. You know, we often play in the key of D or the key of G, and you throw an F chord in and it just,
I love to throw in odd chords just to make it different. And maybe F is a good one that does that.
Yeah. Did you have serious music training back as a kid when you were playing piano?
I took piano lessons the whole time I was growing up. So I learned classical piano. Didn't really learn much about chords. Like I still
you learn more about notes.
What's a diminished nine? I'm trying to learn those now.
Yeah. Do you throw those in occasionally? Because those chords are so effective, and you hear them so rarely now.
I know that I do. I just don't know what they're called. That's why the piano is such a great instrument, because I play whatever. Yeah. And I know that I love playing odd chords. I always throw in unusual in there. And then when I try to play it on the guitar, it's like,
can't do it.
Chord on the guitar.
Can't do it. Oh, I've only got five fingers or four. Can't do it. Can't do it. All right. Well, this was fun, Christina. I enjoyed this. So you've got two things going. You've got Oktoberture and you've got Northwoods. And maybe could you just quickly explain the two and how we can hear one and the other wherever, websites or how do you define them?
They're both on Spotify under those two names. Or you could go to Christina Thomas Taylor, and I have a playlist of all of the songs that I've worked on, including some co-writes with other people.
Okay.
And I have a website, oktoberture.com, which should send you to all of my other links.
Okay. Oktoberture. Okay. Clever name. Did you trademark that?
I was having the hardest time coming up with names. I tried. Everything I thought of was already taken. And so my son came up with that. And I thought, well, it's kind of funny, but I actually really like it. And it grew
up. You know, it's got a nice, we're in New England. October is one of the best months ever here. And, right. There's just something conjures up a nice little feel. It really does.
And then I knew I was going to be doing instrumental type music. And so it's like overture. And
yeah, exactly.
Running together.
Right. It's great. Super. All right. Christina, thank you so much. We'll look forward to hearing what you write about after next November. Oh, God. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Song Creating on Radio St. Pete, 96.7 FM. Please follow us on your favorite podcast site, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon. And please just tell one or two of your friends about this series so that we can grow our audience. You can find links to all our past guests. And if you'd like to hear more of my own music, check out steverobb.com or search me out on Spotify and Apple Music. Thanks for listening, and until next time, keep a song in your head and music in your heart.